eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Junkyard Dogcast. I am Jordan Hill. We got the whole crew with us this week, Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell. Start with you, Rusty. How is this Tuesday afternoon treat?
I'm here, man. I was making sure Jordan Harris right there has already got to go dogs and here. Didn't forget about me, so I had to step back in. Had a crazy last couple of weeks and missed you guys. Been watching. I actually listened to it driving on the road the other day, so welcome to a lot of people, new guys, I guess, but good to be back. Thursday's a tough day for me. I know you guys have been getting on a visitor. J.C. Sherbert last week of the Big Spur was a good one, I thought, and I kind of like that, how you guys are bringing in some other people. I like to listen to the other opinions and kind of other angles when teams are playing Georgia.
Absolutely. I think that's been great to start this season. You just get perspective on, you know, the other opponents, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff that those guys know that sure. we wouldn't know from the outside. So I've enjoyed doing that. Kip, how is this Tuesday afternoon treating?
I can't believe it's already fall break at my boy's school, man. I'm going to be hanging out with them a little later, and we already have next year's SEC schedule coming out today. It's you know, it seems like it just goes by so quickly, and I guess this Georgia season's just kind of blowing by. But you know what? As Kirby said, I mean, Kent State's a quality opponent. I'm not going to say anything negatively about them. It's a big opportunity for Georgia to try to learn some more things. And we're going to try to learn a little bit more about Georgia this week as well. I think that's a good goal for all of us to have, to figure out something new about the dogs. And yeah, it's been a pretty good week.
Kip, we just want to go 1-0 every day. That's the mission.
That's all I'm trying to do. Especially with my Braves.
Absolutely. I would really appreciate if they started going 1-0 every day. We're going to jump right into it. This is going to be a mailbag episode. Everybody listening and watching live, feel free to drop questions in the comments. We'll make sure and get to them, as well as the questions we got from the message board there on the Junkyard. We're going to start with one that is really interesting. I'm really intrigued to hear what you guys think of this. Droughtbreaker40 says, does Todd Monken have head coaching ambitions? And if so, what kind of opportunity would he leave for? This kind of comes off the heels of, on Sunday, ESPN's Pete Thamel mentioned Todd Monken as a potential candidate with about 11 or 12 other names for that Arizona State job that came open with Herm Edwards being fired. Let's start with you, Rusty. What are your thoughts on Todd Monken, the possibility that, you know, once this season ends, he could be a name that some of these colleges look for when they're looking for a new head coach?
From what I hear, kind of what I gather, and just kind of my opinion with this, I think Todd Monken, if he were to leave Georgia, it's going to be for NFL. It's going to be for a coordinator position, maybe an even a head coach position at some point. But Todd Monken is a football coach. Now, he likes to call plays. You heard him say in his first press conference, you know, I get paid to score. And this is a guy that, let me be real careful with this, because this would get taken a billion different ways. not really into the recruiting deal. You know what I mean? He does recruit for Georgia, but he's not like this. He doesn't live, breathe, and eat that. I mean, this guy's an X and O guy, and that's okay. A lot of people are X and O guy that makes a lot of money. He is one of the highest paid offensive coordinators in college football for a reason. With that saying, I'm kind of thinking if he were to leave a job like Georgia, and he knows what's on that roster, he knows what's coming, he knows what's there, he knows the opportunity there, wife and family kind of settled in to Athens, Georgia. I think the only way he leaves Georgia, in my opinion, would be for the time being, would be the NFL. I mean, you go there, it's a totally different schedule. You don't have junior days. You're not texting with players. You're not talking to moms and dads and those types of things. I mean, it is a lot different type of schedule. Now, you know, the NFL is a lot change over a lot quicker than that. But I think that Todd Monken realizes right now, coming back into the game, if he were going to come back into college football, it better be somewhere special. And I think he's found that at Georgia. So my opinion is it would have to be an absolute no-brainer. I mean, a no-brainer college job for him to leave as a head coach, or he would probably go to the NFL if he were to leave at all.
I think that's how I feel about it as well, Rusty. And, you know, credit to Todd, his only head coaching experience as a college coach went really well at Southern Miss. Went 13-25, but turned over a program that was in a very, very bad situation and doesn't have a whole lot of backing, a whole lot of resources, and they did an excellent job.
And where did he go after that?
The NFL.
NFL. You know what I mean? Like, this guy knows that, hey, I mean, we all talk to college coaches. I'm telling you right now, everybody knows that NFL schedule. I mean, when you don't have to be in the office from the second week of May until mid-July, that's different than what you go through in a June month. Kip, I tell you, the change in recruiting now, June is the new December. So, like, you got to be buttoned up. You're not at the lake somewhere fishing. Like, you're buttoned up watching Tate camp every day and getting ready for official visitors on the weekend. So, totally different schedule, that NFL.
Kip, any thoughts on just the Todd Monken piece?
We're still recovering from that June. That one hit us, man, like a haymaker. But and if you're Todd Monken, why would you consider something like that right now? Why would you want to have all that on your plate when you're getting paid basically G5 head coach money right now? You know that if you're going even to a program like Arizona State, you're up against it. You're going to have to build something. And you might not get the runway you need to build that program to be successful. He's got Georgia humming right now. And I think, honestly, if you look down the road, if they're able to have, you know, more support staff, unlimited coaches, able to recruit, able to coach on the field, it's just going to make Todd Monken's job even easier. So while the landscape right now with transfer portal, you know, I mean, NLI, the different recruiting aspects has thrown some extra wrinkles into it, it's not necessarily something that's, you know, heavily affected Todd Monken's day-to-day operations. Like you said, he's getting paid to score points. Georgia is scoring points. And he's now being heralded, you know, as one of the best offensive coordinators, if not the best in college football. So for him, that itch that hasn't been scratched yet is ripe, getting another chance in NFL. He didn't get a great shake out there in Cleveland. Didn't really get an opportunity to do what he wanted to do. That's the one carrot I think would still be, you know, he would look into whether it's a, you know, offensive coordinator or obviously a head coaching position. That's that one challenge, I think, like a lot of coordinators who are really good at their jobs, he would probably heavily consider. Probably each and every offseason while he remains at Georgia being, you know, paid very, very handsomely and running one of the premier programs in the country.
I know some of the people on the board were a little bit, a little bit nervous coming off of, you know, him being mentioned for that Arizona State job. But, you know, if I were a fan, the way I look at it is it shows you how good of a job he's done and that people see him. And see him as one of the top options because he has done a very good job going into his third year so far at Georgia. Flipping over to another question, this from Fry Dog. After three games, what potential weaknesses do you see in our team? What opponent on our schedule is a real threat at this point? Start with you, Kip, and then you can answer after that, Rusty. What do you sort of think might be a weakness right now for Georgia? And is there an opponent that is on the schedule that really stands out to you based on what we've seen so far?
I know a lot of people, you know, you might bring up getting to the quarterback. I think Georgia's doing fine there. Honestly, it's on both sides of the ball. It's kind of the run game and the run defense. You know, right now, Georgia's offense is using the passing game as an extension of their run game. They're using quick strikes to get 8-9 yards on first down. And then if they have a second and one, instead of taking the shot downfield, they're just getting the first down and moving the chains. So you're getting some shorter runs in that aspect. And so the stats aren't, you know, eye popping in the run game. Obviously, if they get the ball at the 1 yard line to punch it in, Kendall Milton can only get 1 yard. That's the most he can get in that situation. So sometimes you have the numbers a little skewed that way, but you don't know if Georgia really needs to run the ball, especially between the tackles, if they're going to be able to do that. That's not necessarily a problem. It's just something we don't really know yet about Georgia's team. Maybe that's still by design, but maybe at the same time, Todd Monken knows that's not going to be a strength of his team this year, and they're going to continue to attack the perimeter, and they are going to be a yards after the catch type of offense. And again, on the same time, on the other side of the field, just being able to stop the run, they're doing fine in that aspect, but they're still allowing, you know, well over 3 yards per carry. I think it's like 3.22 right now. That puts them around 40th, 41st in the country. Not necessarily bad by any means, but it's still an area where, coming off of last year and what they're able to do, that's an aspect where they've taken a step back. And, you know, obviously with that defensive line, that's an aspect where we kind of figured that would happen. But at the same time, you get down into the schedule, you're playing a team that's humming offensively. You got to be able to stop them when you need to, and we're not exactly sure if Georgia's going to be able to do that. So as for which team tests them this year, I mean, it has to be one of these teams that's humming on offense. You know, is Tennessee right now stands out as a team that's performing really well, and they're kind of emerging as potentially the team that might test Georgia the most this year. We'll see how they do this weekend against Florida. Should be a pretty good game, but they've impressed me a lot this year, and Hendon Hooker is performing as I expected him to, as one of the better quarterbacks in the conference.
Our producer, Jordan, who's a big Tennessee fan, I think he's about ready to jump out of his chair there when you said that, Kip. Russi, is Tennessee the team that kind of stands out to you, or if not, what do you sort of see as teams that really could challenge Georgia?
I think, man, the next 4 weeks for Georgia, I mean, Kirby Smart's going to have to really dig in to convince this team that, I mean, when you've got, listen, they play Kent State, and he was talking yesterday like they're the 76 Steelers. And then you've got, you know, Missouri. This might be the worst Missouri team that I've personally seen. Like they Kansas State ran them out of the building, pushed them around. And then you go, Auburn obviously is down. And then you got Vandy, and you know, and so Georgia right now, the next 4 weeks is really going to find out, you know, how motivated they are. And I know Kirby Smart and them don't want to hear that, but that is reality. Now, that back end of the schedule, you start playing Florida, and you start playing Tennessee, and you start playing Mississippi State and Kentucky. I don't care how dominant Georgia's been right now, sooner or later they're going to get tested. And it just happens to everybody. They're going to get tested. I personally think it's going to take a team with some physicality to push them around a little bit, to challenge them. I like Kentucky right now. I think Tennessee playing in Athens the week after Florida is definitely something you better watch. And then going to Mississippi State, you know, all that stuff over there, you know, that what they do, they will rub you, pick you, everything all day long. You get frustrated because you can't get to the quarterback. I think LSU's front four took that game over the other night, and if Georgia can do that, then that's kind of the recipe to beat Mississippi State. But there's something about that Kentucky game. When you start looking Kentucky and what Mark Stoops has done and this quarterback, they can stay healthy up there, that might be one of those crazy, crazy environments to see where Georgia is. But regardless, the back end of the schedule, I think, is where we're going to find out a lot more about Georgia. But these next 4 weeks, man, whew, they're going to have to really do some preaching in that locker room, because these are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids and 21-year-old kids and 25-year-old for Stetson. But, you know, I think it's Stetson's like seventh time going to Kentucky maybe. But
I think Hal Mummy might have been there the first time.
Yes, Hal Mummy was there. So, you know, it is what it is. Come off the bye week, and then you get into that back half of the schedule. So I think we're going to find out a lot more about Georgia. But you ask about weaknesses and concerns. I mean, when you're playing this good and you're dominating opponents like this, any little error is kind of magnified. I mean, you know, last year gives up a deep ball to Jaheim Bell, who's a hell of a football player. And Spencer Rattler threw that thing on the money. It's almost undefendable. You know what I mean? It happens. Keely Ringo, who everybody never talks about because he shuts people down. Keely Ringo's beat on that fourth down. If Rattler throws it out front of him, he's going to give up first down. He didn't. And those type of things. So, listen, everybody, when you're playing this good and you have a small mistake like that or you give up a play, it gets kind of magnified. But right now, the way Georgia's playing, I would be hard to press any side of the ball. It's funny, Kip and I have been working together a long time, and we've been through this where the board has been begging to throw the ball. Please, for the love of God, just get wide open and throw the ball. Now you see people, please, can we run the ball? So it's pick your poison there. What do you want to do with this thing? And, you know, it's a passing league. It is a passing football game now in the NFL and in college. And I told people for a couple years, separation between Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State has been those wide receivers. And Georgia is wide open right now, and they've got some tight ends to back it up. So, I'm not real concerned about the running game right now. For me, Georgia's playing well. We're going to find out a little bit more in the next couple of weeks. We're going to find out a lot more in that back end.
No doubt about it. Well, we'll take a quick break real quick. We'll come back. Got some more questions from the live chat and also from the board, recruiting questions, also just talking about the 2022 Bulldogs. So we'll take a quick break and then be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, yeah, we're going to jump back and go to our number one fan of the live Junkyard Dogcast, Jordan Harris, had a question earlier. Rusty, things heating up with the defensive lineman from Rome. We were talking about this a little bit before we went on. Just give us an update on what you've heard.
Well, this one's interesting for a lot of reasons. Stephon Green, young man in my hometown here, I've known him for a while, and he has just gotten bigger, playing better. Georgia recruited him really hard. Alabama, I thought for a while he was going to Ohio State. He goes to Clemson in the spring. Clemson has this policy where if you're committed and you visit somewhere, as far as I know, that commitment is no longer, you know, there. Now, I don't know if that's still the policy, kind of been what they've dealt with in the past. So he goes to the Georgia-Oregon game in Atlanta as a recruit, sits in the Georgia section. Did talk to some people, you know, close to this thing in Georgia's. He's been talking a good bit with Georgia. Now, where does it go from there? We'll see. Obviously, if he does visit Georgia, that's going to be very big news. But I am 100% able to confirm there's been a good bit of communication between he and Georgia, and we'll see where it goes. To Filing Green, one, he is, here's the deal. There's a little difference about Romeheim. They don't allow their kids to camp. So their coach is like, look, if you like our kid on tape, you like him in person, you can come watch him work out, whatever, you can offer him. So, you know, a lot of people are starting to kind of realize what type of player he is, but I've watched him now for 2 years, and this kid absolutely takes games over at defensive line. And he's a player that I think Georgia is going to take a swing at. We'll see where it goes, but certainly worth noteworthy to say that, hey, there is communication between, you know, Georgia staff and Stephon Green.
Another question from the chat. This is from Brian Bivens. Are you guys surprised we are playing this good after losing so many? I'll give my take and then let each of you guys jump in. I am more so on defense. I thought the offense had a chance to be really good, mainly with Stetson coming back. And I feel like a broken record when it comes to when I do radio hits, I always emphasize, you know, this was an offseason where Stetson was the guy the entire time. This was not a situation where he got thrust into that role. So I thought the offense had a chance to be really, really good. I mean, I still don't think I would have said Stetson is being talked about as a Heisman guy, but I still thought this offense could produce. But the fact this defense has just picked up, especially losing, I think, 8 starters from last year's defense, and just, I mean, let, you know, shown no regression through 3 games. Very, very impressed on that side of it.
I'll go quick right here. One note, and let Kip talk. This is the first time Stetson Bennett's ever had fall camp number one reps, to my knowledge. So you see that what that offense is doing. So
number one reps, really, period. I mean, like off season, a full off season with Todd Monken, full off season of throwing these to these wide receivers and tight ends. But just looking at that defense, we did the same thing last year, Rusty. We had Azeez Ojulari, Tyson Campbell, Eric Stokes, Monty Rice, LeCount, all in the draft. And we were like, well, we'll see how this defense performs this year. And it was, you know, the greatest defense we had seen, especially at Georgia, in our lifetime. So I think we're at that stage where you just look at that 24/7 sports team talent composite. You see Georgia right there at number two. They've been number one before. This what Kirby Smart's going to do with the roster right now. And, you know, you can have coaches out there talking about how their programs are rebuilding some years. I just think Kirby Smart's not going to be here for that. He might not tell you his team's as good as, you know, last year or any year, but he is going to restock that roster as best he can every offseason. And we're going to be talking about young players next year after players get drafted this year, stepping up into big roles. That's how you run an elite program. And that's the whole point of what Kirby Smart was brought here to do at Georgia, to upgrade this roster, take that next step. He's done that. So, yeah, I don't think we should really be surprised at this point. I mean, they're not playing at that level of last year, but they got young guys that are getting better every week. And that's the other aspect of this. I mean, Georgia may not have been tested yet, but they have young guys that are out in the field right now getting experience. So later in the year, this defense could be performing at an entire another level. Once you have all these young guys like Smile Munden out there, you know, Kamari Lasser continuing to get more experience and get better, we could be talking about how much better this defense is playing against those top teams we see them face toward that back end of the schedule.
One thing I'll say too on the end of this, Georgia with team speed defensively, injecting Malachi Starks, Smile Munden, and Javon Bullard as 3 guys. Now, they're replacing some dudes, but obviously Malachi Starks is an instant impact guy. But those 3 positions, they either got faster or they're just as fast. So when you put Malachi Starks in that safety position in the back end, what he's doing, that's a big deal, and you're seeing it pay dividends. Javon Bullard as well. I mean, William Poole no longer with the team, and we won't get into that, but Javon Bullard is faster than William Poole, and that's one of the reasons why he won that job in fall camp.
Another question from the board. DJ Oreo says, how would you assess the play of the inside linebackers? And I'll start with you, Kip, just on what you've seen, and then Rusty can jump in, and then I'll kind of sum up what I've seen as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, right now, I think they are playing not as fast as they could because there's still some, you know, reaction going there. But I think you got to be really impressed by Jamon Dumas Johnson being that leader out there and being able to get his players lined up correctly and have them react fairly quickly. He has done a good job and kind of shown you that when you have a guy who has the instincts like he does and is able to read defenses quickly, you can play faster as a defense. I think it's just at this point, it's about, you know, taking the right lanes and taking the right routes to the ball carrier. There's some hidden yardage in there that Georgia's kind of giving up in the quick passes and run game. But overall, you know, like what I see, I think the, you know, Smile Mundon's best football is still ahead of him. He's getting better every week, and he's really showcased why he was recruited by Georgia. He is lightning quick. And then Tresman Marshall, a guy that I said in fall camp, I think when he gets on the field, as long as he can stay healthy, he's got a good, you know, a good size strength combination out there, and impressive interception by him in that last game. So he's making plays. I thought that was a nice grab by him. I think it's a group that, again, is going to get better every week, has a good 3-4-man rotation just like they did last year. And I think toward the end of the year, that they can really get elite play out of that group. It's just about continuing to get these guys, you know, the game slowing down for them as they see more offenses and they're able to get more experience out there.
Rusty, your thoughts on the inside guys?
I agree. I think you look at those guys, and one thing I like about them, sure, tacklers, you know what I mean? They get to the ball, you go to the ground. You look at Smile Mundon, they're kind of using him, that N'Kobe Dean, where they used to blitz N'Kobe Dean. You go back and watch the second half of the Oklahoma Rose Bowl and watch how many times Georgia brought Roquan Smith. They didn't bring him the first half like they did that second half. You see a lot of that with Smile Mundon, explosive length, speed. Yeah, and like Kip said, it just comes with experience. But I tell you what, man, these guys that are playing are really good football players. And the guys that are coming in are really good football players. And you start talking about what that room looks like and what it's going to look like for the future. I'm telling you right now, Raylan Wilson, to me, I've said it on social media, I've said on our board, he's the number one inside linebacker in this class. GPS to last week, over 22 miles an hour in a game speed, 22 miles an hour. This guy can flat out go. Got NFL pedigree with him. Dad played NFL. I'm just telling you now, this group, Glenn Schumann has put together in that room, it's been really good, and I think it's going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have already hit on this, but I was just impressed from what I've seen from the entire inside linebacker group. You know, looking at Saturday, Jamon Dumas Johnson, I swear it felt like every time I looked up, he either had a tackle or he was right there at the ball. Smile Munden's been all over the place. Was really impressed, like Kip mentioned, with Tresman Marshall, not only with the interception.
Yeah.
Not only the interception he had a very nice pressure earlier on that got to Spencer Rattler, kind of got him, had to rush him out of the pocket. I think he might have wound up throwing the ball away. And then on that play that Tresman intercepted, Ryan Davis came rushing through there to force that bad throw by Luke Doty. A lot of credit to Ryan Davis, because he's not a guy that, you know, frankly, we really talked about a ton factoring in. And I know that was in the fourth quarter, but still. You know, a lot of credit to those inside linebackers for still making plays. And that kind of depth really across the board is why this is a defense we're talking about, you know, not allowing a touchdown until there's 53 seconds left in a game.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they're really doing a good job so far. I think, like I said, toward the end of the year, you're going to see this group, as long as they're healthy, just playing at an even more elite level than they are right now. And really, again, credit to Jamon Dumas Johnson. It's a young group, but the reason he got on the field so early, even last year, is, again, I mean, he's a smart football player, and that'll get you on the field quick. I mean, you want to get those guys in there. Like Rusty said, Malachi Starks, an elite athlete, and they tried to get him as many snaps as they could in fall camp to get him ready. Jamon Dumas Johnson is one of those guys, like you look at Monty Rice, just guys that get on the field early because, you know, when they're on the field, they're not going to make mental mistakes. And I think that's what's allowed him to be out there and to be kind of a young captain for this defense alongside those, you know, senior outside linebackers. They're kind of, you know, they're playing an underrated role in this defense, being able to keep a heady presence out there and make sure that the guys around them know what's in front of them and play to that standard that Georgia has now established on defense these last 2 years.
Another recruiting question from our board. Go Explore just says a running back recruiting update. Rusty, have you heard anything new as far as Georgia chasing a running back when it comes to the 2023 cycle?
Yeah, we put on the board Roderick Robinson, UCLA commit from California, someone Del McGee has recruited. This is not like this guy popped up. Like, Del McGee went to California twice last May during the evaluation period to see him. He was at Texas A&M. this past weekend for an official visit. He's going to be at Georgia Auburn weekend. And I think that kind of lined up. It didn't line up because his off week was the same off week as Georgia. And you want someone like that to either come in December or you want them to see a home game. So far as I know, they're taking a red eye after his game on Friday night. He and his family would be here Saturday morning for the Auburn game. And, you know, that's a guy that we really feel like that Georgia's kind of, you know, looked at pretty deep. You know, we mentioned last night a young man is committed to Notre Dame, Dylan Edwards out of LA, Kansas, is another guy kind of a – that would definitely be thunder and lightning with those two. He's not the biggest back, but he is explosive with the ball in his hands. And, you know, today's game, you want somebody that can get out in space and, you know, Munkin can use those running backs like he does, Kenny McIntosh with the ball in his hands and those types of things. So, you know, the 2023 running back class is obviously when everything changed when Justice Haynes committed to Alabama. With that board, I think Georgia – and here's a guy, Jamarian Wilcox at South Paul, and I've talked about 342 yards last week. But I will give you a name right now, and I kind of mentioned it on the radio the other day, Jordan Louie. It's a young kid. This is a young man that transferred from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. He actually played 2 years with LT Overton in Tuscaloosa that went to Texas A&M. He moved to Georgia – in March, and he's at Meadow Creek, and he is absolutely tearing up. This guy's 5'11", 200 pounds. I know for a fact, talked to his coach this morning, that Georgia called last week. They're trying to get him on a visit to see him, meet him, those types of things. He's another 2023 running back in the state of Georgia that's kind of getting on the scene. But, you know, Jamarian Wilcox is a kid I know that Georgia stays in contact with. I know that Georgia will see him play at some point. Clemson offered this weekend, so I'm interested to see – what that does. The guy had 342 yards Friday night, I'll say. So he, you know, he's not slacking off by any means. And at my camp, I probably had 11 to 1200 kids in four camps this past spring. I probably had less than 20, 25 that did this. He ran 4.4 at 190 pounds. So this kid can go. He's from Chicago. He has a great story. You know, kind of had a rough spot living in Chicago, moved down here to Atlanta with a relative, and things didn't kind of work out there. He now lives with a teammate. That whole South Paulding community has took this young man in. And I'm telling you right now, if he ever tells his whole story, that's up to him. You would root for this kid. And I'm telling you right now, this kid is going to play like his life depends on it. And he's really trying to put an input, you know, kind of footprint his life through football. So I'm rooting for the kid. But I think at the end of the day, Georgia's going to take a really serious and hard look at this running back at South Paulding.
Kind of going off of that, another running back question, and this may be something that is decided later on. Caleb in the chat said, can the Dogs flip Owens? You know, that is someone that a lot of people have been curious about with the situation at Louisville, how things are going. Rusty, any thoughts on that going forward?
It's kind of hard to tell because this one's going to be interesting. You know, all these guys that Louisville's got, it's definitely some stuff tied to this one and you know, down the line. So NIL, I'm sure as NIL, you know, what we can do for you is when you get here, whatever, if that's legal, if it's not legal, I don't even know. But, you know, what's the terms there, you know? But anyway, you talk to these people and Louisville's, you know, definitely they're heavily involved in that part of the game. And so you look and can they – what if there's a coaching change and what if they go 3-8, you know, how does that affect things? You know, are these contracts signed? I don't know. I mean, some of these kids are California kids that are committed. So NIL is perfectly legal there, 100% legal. So there's just so many variables there. I have not personally heard anything in a long time about George and Reuben Owens. I get that question a lot and I have not heard anything behind the scenes. Doesn't mean it's not there, but for me personally, I haven't heard anything.
Shocker. I think Texas A&M is the school you kind of hear behind the scenes trying to work Reuben Owens. I know they tried to get him on campus last weekend. They weren't able to, but I think that's the one you kind of watch in December. I know that's not going to come to a surprise of a lot of people following the last cycle or two with NIL, but that's kind of where things stand now with him, I think. And that's just, there are going to be certain recruitments that are just going to be like that. You know, you're going to see certain programs involved that are heavily you know, recruiting in that area. And I think that's kind of where things are with Reuben Owens right now.
I can tell you this, covering it every day now with this decision, you have to watch these things all the way to the end. Trust me, you have to watch them all the way to the end. And listen, that That's just the way it is now. So we're going to get a million questions on Tyler Williams. He's going to make a decision 1 week from today, wide receiver out of Florida. I think Georgia's been in a really good spot there for a long time, but he is not committed anywhere. He has not said where he's going. And I can promise you right now that Miami is heavily, heavily involved with him. So this is going to be one of those we watch all the way to the end for sure.
Tackle one more question before we get out of here from Jeff Duran in the live comments. Can y'all talk about Georgia's ability to develop players? Gave a few examples, Ladd McConkey, Stetson Bennett, and others. Kip, I'll throw it to you, and then Rusty, you can jump in. Just as far as, you know, the way Georgia has evaluated talent and the way they've been able to get the most out of guys like Stetson and Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, I mean, with Ladd McConkey, that's a hell of a late of the cycle eval. I think we talked about it on one of the other podcasts. You know, just a situation where, you know, he put up big numbers over at camps and still kind of under recruited there at the end. I think Rusty will say he had, you know, one or two FBS offers toward the end, and Georgia just, you know, took a look and decided to bring him in there in January. I think with Todd Monken, you're starting to see that yards after the catch, the ability to make something happen with a 5 to 10 yard throw is something that's highly valuable. But I think it also just kind of lines up with what Stetson Bennett brings to the table. I mean, Stetson Bennett's a guy that's been in the program a long time. And I think there's a lot of value in that, especially what he's able to do pre-snap. They're not doing as many RPOs now because he's figuring out what he needs to do before the ball is snapped. And he's getting the ball out there to guys that can make plays. And you look at guys like, you know, Marcus Rosemy, Jack Saint, and Darnell Washington out there blocking their butts off to allow these players to make the big plays. Everyone's buying in. And I think that's really kind of allowing some of these guys to emerge. You're also seeing Stetson Bennett able to, you know, to get the ball to the middle of the field more now. I think it's not really his height like people thought. It's him knowing exactly what passing lanes he needs to attack and how to get through his reads. And you're seeing, you know, maybe a little bit less action out of the slot, and they're using two tight end sets more. And, you know, it's just a personnel thing. And I think that's really it is an evaluation success for both those guys, but it's more like Todd Monken seeing what he has in his personnel and seeing what Todd Monken can do with a full offseason to evaluate his roster and say, this is what we're good at, and this is how we're going to attack defenses. So, again, we've made this into, you know, it's kind of been a Todd Monken podcast, but the praise needs to be there right now because he has got them really attacking defenses with multiple looks and keeping, you know, defenses on their heels. So, credit to him, but Ladd McConkey, a big win, and I know there's a certain producer right now probably not enjoying the conversation about Ladd McConkey because he'd be making a ton of plays catching passes from Hendon Hooker right now, and I think in high school, you know, that's kind of what he wanted, and he didn't get that opportunity, and now he's making big-time plays for the Georgia Bulldogs, so that's definitely a big recruiting win for them, and an evaluation fail for the Volunteers right now.
Rusty, any additional thoughts just on how Georgia's been able to pull diamonds from the rough like the guys we were talking about?
Jimmy's and Joe's and its evaluations. You know, I've publicly said it. I apologize to everybody in Chatsworth, Georgia, because I have a million. Listen, I get a million calls about kids, and that's part of my job. I get it. But with the Ladd McConkey, the people that I should have listened to that reached out to me that had no dog in the fight, told me, like, this guy's for real. And when he took North Murray and beat Calhoun, which Calhoun had never lost to North Murray, never even been close to North Murray. When he went off that night, I got a call from Hal Lamb, longtime head coach, Mike Davis, who's now the head coach at Raven County. Those guys reached out to me and said, man, Ladd McConkey can go. And, you know, that was probably in October, November. Got a lot of things going on. But I'm sure Kirby Smart got the same phone calls from a lot of different people. And the evaluation they did on Lamb. Look, Cole Spear trifled. This is a kid at Calhoun. Georgia worked out Cole Spear. He ran 4.4 at Georgia. Okay. They didn't care what he's ranked. They didn't care if what Rusty Mansell said on Twitter about this kid. Georgia worked out Cole Spear and they liked him. Same thing with Dylan Bell. And guess who's traveling? Guess who's traveling? Cole Spear and Dylan Bell over other guys right now. One question I get right here, and I want to answer this. AJ Hill. Antoine Hill, quarterback at Houston County 2025, is Trey Hill's nephew. He's 6'5", Georgia offered very, very early. And I'm telling you right now, he is lighting it up. They got Warner Robins, former offensive coordinator the last 2 years, Jeremy Edwards, new head coach. I believe they're 4-0. They're averaging about 40 points a game. I went down in the spring and saw him. He's legit 6'5", just turned 15 years old. I think this kid's special. I know his mom and dad. I know his family. He's got such a high ceiling left, and he can get so much better. But you start talking about tools, and you start talking about a big arm and an athletic kid, there's some really good young quarterbacks in the state of Georgia. And A.J. Hill there, Antoine Hill at Houston County, is a guy that everyone should know, because Georgia's offered, Auburn's offered, Florida State, I believe Alabama. Everybody you can name has offered this young man. He's got strong ties to Georgia. We'll see where it goes down the line. But obviously, that kid is making noise with a new head coach, and he is slinging it around.
Well, we're going to wrap it up there. Appreciate everybody watching, everybody listening, everybody asking questions. We appreciate having the chance to hear from you guys and let you know what we give you the intel that you guys are looking for. I'd remind everybody to keep an eye out on Thursday. We'll be back and have an episode just talking about Kent State, sort of our expectations, what we know, and what we want to see out of that game.
Y'all get Kirby on. Let him tell you how good it is.
Yeah, Kirby will pop on, no problem. I'll give him a call. You know, we have a weekly 1:30, so I'll just call him. I'm sure he would move that up.
That'll work. You know, I asked him on radio a couple weeks ago about hiring. You start talking about Monken, you know, Todd Monken and those guys. And I've said this, and I said, Kirby, you know, if you're hiring the right people, you're going to have to make replacements. And he said an interesting answer was, he is proud of Sam Pittman and Mel Tucker, but he's also proud of those guys that were off the field guys that just came to Georgia to help their resume, to get other jobs. And I didn't realize he had like 30 guys that are already on other staffs that were never on the field guys at Georgia. They were off the field support staff guys that got jobs. So there's a lot more into it. And, you know, I see somebody mentioned Buster Faulkner. Buster Faulkner came to Georgia for one reason: to help his resume, because he had a hell of a year as offensive coordinator at Southern Miss for 1 year. And he said, listen, I need to put that SEC on my resume. So he came to Georgia. So I thought that was an interesting answer. As we talk about, you know, what people think about, you know, potentially Todd Monken and all these other guys, Glenn Schumann at some point is going to start getting mentions. That's inevitable. So we'll see when that starts for him.
Well, I'll say again, thanks to everybody for tuning in and watching, and everybody listening after the fact on the podcast. We appreciate that. Thanks to Rusty and also to Kip for taking some time to hop on with me. But we're going to wrap it up right there. Appreciate all you guys for watching and supporting us. And until Thursday, take care.
Go Braves.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.